All right, let's continue our teaching on our school of prayer. Remember, we are talking about how to deal with the devil in your life. And last time I was talking about the fact that the devil is a liar. And I'll just pick up from where, I can't remember exactly where we stopped, but I think we stopped somewhere and we'll just continue teaching and then we'll be telling the truth. It's only the devil that's a liar. Amen? All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's start again from where we started from last time, the book of Colossians chapter 1. Just what we began with last time that we used for our confession of the word of God. Maybe we'll do the same thing again this time as we commence the teaching. All right, let's start from verse 13. He said, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." He said, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now, please notice that, remember, this is our prayer seminar on how to deal with the devil in your life. Let's get right to our feet now, all right? And let's quickly take our confessions, all right? We read from Colossians chapter 1 to bring out the point that we are free. Everybody say it, I am free. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say like you believe it. Please say, I have been delivered from darkness. I have been delivered from the domain of darkness. I have been transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Say like you believe it. I am not under the power of the devil. The devil cannot hold me down. His demons cannot hold me down. Say like you believe it. I have been delivered from their power. Say the blood of Jesus has washed me clean, has washed away my sins, has removed the hold the devil has upon me. The prince of this world may come. That is the devil. But he has nothing in me. He has nothing to make me fail. He has nothing to make me die young. He has nothing to use to keep me down. Because I was down and I believed. And with Jesus Christ, I rose again. Say, I have been raised up with him. I am seated with him on the right hand of God, far above principalities and powers. Please, I want you to understand this. Say it. It is not by my effort. It's not because I prayed hard. It's not because I studied hard. It's not because I gave plenty. It's just because I believed. Once he said it, I accepted it, and it is so in my life. Say it, he said it, I believe it. That is the truth about my life. Now, we're going to say this. Please notice that you are saying it. I don't care about my present conditions. I don't care what surrounding things look like right now. The truth is that I am above, and I am not beneath. The truth is that I am a success, and I am not a failure. Jesus was rich. He became poor so as to exchange my poverty for his riches. Now I have the riches of Christ. I have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. I have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. I am not under any ancestral curse. I am under the blessing of Jesus Christ. Abraham's blessings are mine. Say it like you believe it. I am not under any ancestral curse. I am under the blessing of Jesus Christ. Abraham's blessings are mine. Every hindrance in my life is broken. Every obstruction in my life is broken. I am moving on with God, and I will manifest divine destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Say it again. I am moving on with Christ, and I will manifest my destiny. Nobody can stop me. Nothing can stop me. Say, nobody can stop me. Nothing can stop me. Nobody can stop me. No situation can stop me. Nothing can stop me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's take our seats. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, let me tell you something there. I would recommend you book these CDs in case you have not been doing that. I just played this first, how many minutes was that? Is it up to 5 minutes? No. like 3 minutes, right? Play it loud when you want to sleep. And wake up in the morning, I think you should do that. All right? Yeah, because the walls have ears, you know, everybody around has. And the one you are hearing it, it becomes your song. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, it becomes your song. It becomes the way you respond, all right, to situations. All right? That's just the way it is. There's something this morning as I was driving to the office, I decided to listen to the book of Genesis chapter 1. And then even though I've listened to it many times before, of course, I've read it. I'm sure everybody's read Genesis since you were a child, all right? Unless you were born by Muslims. And since you started going to a Christian school, you started reading it too, right? Okay. But something struck me today. As I was just listening to it again, and they told Adam and Eve, don't eat. And that funny fellow came and said, has God really said you should not eat? And the woman was going through long talk. Are you getting my point? And then Satan was able to suggest doubt into her heart. And once she doubted, she ate. And then they heard the sound of God coming in the evening. And they went to hide. Now, before that, the first thing that happened was after they ate, what did they find out? That they were naked. What does that tell you? Your perspective about life depends on what you consume. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. I just heard that. I said, Jesus. It was what they ate that told them things about them. So watch what you eat. Watch what they feed you with. I was just driving today. In fact, I put off the player at that point. I started thinking. I said, my God. Your perspective, how you see yourself, how you see life, depends on what you are consuming. You know, something, as I'm telling you now, it just clicked. You know, it just clicked. Something just clicked. Now, many years ago, how many of you went for Wafbeck? There's some Wafbeck people in the house. Wafbeck, Wafbeck, Wafbeck. God bless all of you, Wafbeck, that went. And those of you did not go, I hope you have the Wafbeck messages. Let this will not leave us behind, amen? We have to all move together till we all come. Not one person come, till we all come, all right? Anyway, now, Pastor Poju organized Wafbeck. I've been listening for a very long time. The first time, one of the first messages I heard him, actually he wrote this. I never heard him. I didn't know who he was. I just used to read, just like you have these magazines now. There was this one, just two sheets. All right, this one is four. Just two sheets that he used to write, covenant letters. So I picked one then, and he explained something that, just now I'm remembering it. I'm connecting what I heard this morning. He said that what was different between Joshua and Caleb compared to the 12 spies, all right, was what they ate. I don't know if you hear what I said. That they were eating manna. The other ones were eating quail and all kinds of that. Those two people were eating manna. I was like, were you there? You know those kind of... He said it, no apologies. He said, listen, he was talking about food. In fact, the title of that message was Manna, the Food of Champions. The next one I read was Gospel, the Light of the Nations. I said, I have to look for this fellow. Because he was saying things that, of course, you know, one page. What can you say in one page? I will try and understand no explanation. So I went to go and look for him. So one day I finally found him. And that day he preached a message titled Inheritance Inside the New Man. And since that time, my life has not been the same. And I pray you listen to it also. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now just remember that now. That he said it's what these people were eating. That they were eating manna. Now, when you eat manna, you will believe God. If you eat something else, you will be seeing giants. That those people ate manna, so that when they saw giants, they couldn't see the giants. They were seeing victory. It's just this morning, just as I'm talking to you now, I suddenly remember that thing he said. And I'm connecting that the Bible actually says that in the book of Genesis. That what you consume is what shows you things about life. Adam and Eve, there was nothing different between them. That is, before they ate and after they ate, what changed was their eyes. God didn't say to them, where did the glory go? When did you become naked? He said, who told you you were naked? I don't know what I get the point. He's like, you are just the way I left you, but what are you now telling me? You have changed inside. Outwardly, nothing has changed them. But you see, listen, and that's the way it is. Were they still blessed? They were still blessed. God had not come to drive them out of their blessing yet. I hope you understand my point. Everything they had was still there. They were still in the garden. Everything was still the way it was. It was when God came that he pronounced judgment and then he drove them out of the garden. But before that time, they had decided we are naked. We can't go out. I don't know what you got to say. The Lord was approaching. They went to hide. This was the Lord they would have come to meet. It was approaching. They went to hide. This is our normal meeting place. Where are you people? They were hiding from behind the tree. Why? Oh, I will never dress. What dress are you talking about? He said, who told you you were naked? Then they connected it. They have eaten something. And what they consumed has changed their perspective towards life. You watch too much television, news analysis. You are consuming all the news outside. You will be this, listen, with the same potential, the same ability, they will tell you something different, and failure becomes your portion. Because when the Lord came, they didn't go out to meet him. The Lord, who's their help, when he came, they didn't go to receive help from him. They went to hide. Why? Because they consumed something and their eyes changed. Their bodies did not change. They were still inside the garden, but they had a different opinion of themselves instantly. Be careful what you consume. Be careful what you consume. That's why if you go, look, I'll tell it to you straight. You know, you can't be nice for too long. If you go to a church where they tell you, now, if you like, be angry. It's the truth. That they tell you that they ate your placenta. That's why your head is like this. Stop going there. No, did you hear what I said? That the problem with your life is who ate your placenta, whether they buried it properly. Anybody tells you that, just be nice. You know, let's not be indecent, all right? Just calmly wait for the service to end, pick your bag and say, sir, I'm not coming back. You're not angry. You are going to change my impression of life, my attitude towards life. When you start telling me funny lies, remember what we said, how to deal with the devil in your life. The devil doesn't have the kind of power that people think he has. He doesn't have it. You see how he gets his power? He feeds people with lies. When you believe it, and I told you last time, life can be, it looks relative. You can see virtually anything you want to see in this life. No, really. Hey, listen, may Satan not talk to you and you believe him. Satan can make, one day a friend of mine told a story. One young boy, he was misbehaving, teenager, becoming unruly, was going, one day one senior brother decided to talk to him. What is going on? He made up his mind his mother hated him. Why? He was doing badly in school. Now everything was upside down. Why? Because one day, he wanted to go somewhere. He asked his mother for money and his mother said no. And that instant, he decided that my mother doesn't love me. Listen, she gave him money yesterday. I don't know whether I get my point. And these days, you know, how can it be so stupid? I'm not like that anymore. I've learned. It is Satan. What did I call it? Satan. What did I call it? Satan. You didn't hear me? Satan will just sit. Oh, I like those Kennehagen visions. So just sit on the person's shoulder. You know, if you read Kennehagen's visions. Normally, sees the Satan sitting, the devil sitting on somebody's shoulder and whispering into the ears. Go and read that book, Triumphant Church. You see how he whispered. The little demon whispered into one woman's head, a married woman, until he sent her to hellfire. A good Christian. Whispered. Go and read the book, The Triumphant Church by Kennehagen. Whispered, started telling her things. And after a while, she began to believe it. And when she believed it, she began to live wrongly. That's why I said, watch what you consume. Of course, our consumption now is not food. Are you getting my point? That's physical food. It's about the words that enter into your heart. So he said, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard it with all diligence. Where people are pumping your ears full of nonsense, close your ears. You go to a place, maybe you have a friend. You know, this life, you must be born again. What did I say? He said, but I've given my life to Christ. I know. You have to change your friends. That's part of being born again. You go to places where they wear down your faith. and you think you are being nice, they are from my place. Which one is more important, your place or your faith? You have friends saying, no, we have been friends with childhood.
Eh?
Oh boy. Childhood has passed. Adulthood, we have to move forward. No, it's true. It's true. I cannot remain friends with you. You understand? Every time I talk to you, in a discouragement. When I come to you, I'm happy. I'm excited. Life is looking beautiful. And after talking to you for 5 minutes, I'm discouraged. You bring me down to reality. I don't know what I get the point. And you think you are doing me a favor. You bring me down to reality. You think you are doing me a favor. Don't worry. After a while, in fact, I'll stop coming to your house. When you are coming, if I see you near the gate, you're coming near my house, I quickly dress up. You know what I mean? Dress up, brush your hair quickly, wear a tie, carry a bag. Ah! What's happening? Are you going out? Yeah, right now, yes, I have to go out. As long as that's not a lie. No, it's not a lie. You actually plan to go out now. It is when you made up your mind, you are not discussing that one. It was when you saw him, you made up your mind, you are going out. You are not coming to stay here with me. He said, I was going to stay in your place today. He said, no problem, my place is open. When are you coming back? I'll call you. Yeah, my friend, I'll leave my house for you. I'll give you the keys. This is the fridge. This is the drink. There's one new pot of soup there. I'll go and look for a man of faith to hang with for that night. It's true. And if you are bold, you know, there are some people that are very bold. They will just tell the fellow straight, oh boy, this is your company is not profiting me. Yeah, some people are like that. They don't send. You know, some people don't send. They will tell you, if you want to hang, go and hang. You will hear it. No, they will tell you straight. You tell the fellow straight. But if you are a nice guy, all right, which is not good for you sometimes, all right? If you're a nice guy, use other methods. Avoid the fellow. Or you can go on the offensive. What about go on the offensive? When he arrives, put in one bishop with a dangerous message. You know those people like, I can never be poor. Poverty, die. You know? Thomas could not even forsake because the anointing, you know, just as the more he complains, tune off the volume. When that one is finished, put on that one, he will leave. Don't worry, he's not comfortable. He will go away. The point is this. Be careful what you consume. Don't let one agent of Satan be coming to feed you with nonsense. I said something last time. What is a lie? A lie is not that which is in disagreement with what I feel like. It's that which disagrees with what the Word of God says. No matter how much it appears like it's in keeping with what they call reality, if it disagrees with the prophetic Word of God, I am sorry, it is a lie. This is how Satan gets a hold in people's lives. It feeds them with something that is a lie. They believe it. Their perspective about themselves, all right, their thoughts about themselves and about life changes, and that's the beginning of failure. Start giving the explanations that are ungodly for all the challenges you're having in life. Like I said last time, who doesn't have challenges? Remember our story of challenges? Jesus had challenges, God has. When your mother doesn't believe in you, it's a serious challenge. When your treasurer is a thief, it's a serious challenge. When you go to your own hometown, and they say, we hear they heal people elsewhere. My dog is sick. You know it's a serious challenge. If somebody doesn't speak with you from the perspective, he said, to the word and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to that word, it is because they do not have the light of dawn. That light has not shone upon them. Do you understand the point? You want to overcome Satan in your life? Watch what you hear. Don't believe any nonsense. It's not everything people feed you with. You think you have the, you know, I'm open-minded. Oh boy, there are times you have to be narrow-minded. Narrow is the mind that leads to life. You don't know? Is it not in your Bible? All this open-mindedness, what's leading America everywhere now? Narrow is a mind that leads to life. Are you getting my point? It is narrow. Say, how come you are just so narrow-minded? That's your problem. I like it like that. That's what Jesus said. That is the one that's going to find life is a narrow path. No, it's not an open-minded path. It is narrow. What is my definition of truth? As long as my narrowness is not about my village ideas, my personal ideas, about the scriptural ideas, if the word of God has come to me, anything disagreeing with it is not true. It is not true. I said something last time. Ignorance is the major problem of the church. Ignorance. And that is what Satan feeds on. You want to fight the devil, fill your heart with what? Knowledge. You want to fight the devil, fill your heart with what? Knowledge. That's what it is. That is fight. It's not, let me say this again. It is not prayer you use to fight the devil. And I mean it like that. It's not prayer. Jesus did not fight the devil with prayer. If you go and check, we're talking about your personal life. You want to fight the devil in somebody else's life, it's a totally different ballgame. We're not discussing it now. We're talking about your own personal life. It's not prayer. You can employ prayer as a way to do the other things that you are supposed to do. Are you getting what I'm explaining? For example, to have understanding is not struggle. You pray. Alright? Give me understanding and I shall live. It's a prayer. But you see, it's the understanding there that's the defense that you are using. Are you getting my point? We read from Ephesians chapter 1, alright? Paul said it like this. He said, I pray for you that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So you see, you can pray so that you have understanding. But it is not the prayer that's fighting the devil directly. It is the understanding that fights the devil. It's what you know. That's why when Jesus Christ came, and when Satan came to him, he didn't answer him with, be careful yourself, wait, let me go and pray about you. No. He answered him directly. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that is how a man lives. It was just a direct word. Bow before me and worship me, I'll give you everything. Listen, it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, only him you will serve. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Every response was with the word of God. You don't fight the devil with, are they vexed, are they hungry? You know what I mean? Are they hungry? Are they fast? That's what I mean. That's not what, you know, in fact, let me digress into it briefly. You know why I read that long length I read? I won't go into the details now. When we finish on Saturdays, the series, The Season of Fruitfulness, we'll begin on that series. I'm looking for the title to call it, all right? But I want to examine this Jesus again. People have to understand, you know, I called my wife the other day. That was 2 nights ago. Was it yesterday night? We were watching those funny people. 2 nights ago, yes. I just sat and I stumbled on it on National Geographic. And they were showing this every 12-year program on the bank of the Ganges River, where the Hindus gather. About 30 million people gather over a few days and be, you know, doing things around the river, including bathing inside it. They believe that 3 rivers meet there. 2 of them are physical. All of us can see that one. But they say there's a third spiritual one that joins. And then we see things that people... I called my wife, come and look. You see what people were doing to attain spirituality. And I was feeling sorry for people. A man had not sat down or laid down in 10 years and he had 2 years to go. I don't know what I heard I said. He has not sat down or laid down in 10 years. He's going to do that for 12 years. And that one has kept his hand raised. And he's going to do that for 12 years. By the time we saw, I think he had done it for 10 years. He had 2 years to go. He had kept the hand raised. Do I have to tell you all these people were walking around naked? In fact, they will hang stones on their genitals as a sign of spirituality. I'm not kidding. I was just looking at it. And we're looking at these people. I said, what is going on here? They are trying to attain. That's why I read all those things I read in the book of Hebrews. Trying to enter into something that Jesus just said, you believe and enter it into it free. If you see, no, you don't understand. This guy has been standing for 12 years, for 10 years. And he's going to stand for 12 years. Do you understand my point? He has two saws on the instep. Yes, that's the English word, you know. I only know medical words. It's an instep, you know, the instep of his feet. All right. Two saws there because the feet were swollen at the time. They blistered and ruptured. He had not sat down in 10 years. How does he sleep? You say, they tie a kind of pillow like this, hanging it from the ceiling in front of him. You lie on it. I told my wife, this is what annoys me when the Christian tells me he wants to fast so as to connect with God. What have you done? You're hungry for 2 days. That's why I went into that. It's not, when we're confessing, I'll just ask something. Remember, it's not because of what I have done. It is because I keep on emphasizing that because there is this madness that Christians have to be delivered from in thinking that I will be delivered from poverty because I gave. And when they go to pray, it's inside their heart. After everything I have said, some people say, all my investment, you won't collect and you're wasting like that. Inside them. They also say, in Jesus' name, I receive it by, I receive it be free. I thank God I'm a giver. God, you know, I am a giver. You know, my own give. You know, the pastor banking time will give, you know. Connect with something. And look at the Christian, what have you done? They're talking about forsaking the world. Those guys forsook their clothes. You say, I'm forsaking the world. What thing you have? You stop wearing expensive. You're going to be, you start going to some churches. Let me not mention names. Let some people think I'm talking about them. Is that wearing sandals instead of shoe? These guys don't wear anything. No cloth. Naked, with apart from one small, you know what? What America will call G strings. They have one small G string that these men will wear, which they will discard when they have matured. I don't know what I get the point. They can wear now because they're just being initiated. Then when they have matured, they will now discard it. You see them, thousands of them climbing up to the mountains, 10,000 feet without clothes. That place is cold. What are they trying to do? They are trying to attain spirituality. I watched it and I shook my head. I said, these people need Jesus Christ more than average. Those things don't defeat the devil. They don't defeat the devil. But the devil just sit down cross-legged like an eight-armed goddess over them. Please, I hope you're following what I'm going to say. All these things don't defeat the devil. Your fasting does not defeat the devil. It doesn't. Only one thing defeats the devil. You shall know the truth. Are you getting my point? And that truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. It's not your struggle. We'll go into teaching on that one later. And you see what, you see, in fact, it's good you see things that I say, you know, if it is works, you have not done anything. That was why Martin Luther cried at a time. Let me tell you, these things you think is just the Hindus. Christians did it at a time. That was what Martin Luther fought, in case you did not know. He shouted, no, it's by faith alone. Because he too had done it. Do penance for your sins. You will crawl on your bare knees, on rough stones, for a long distance, and say, why? You are suffering from your sin. One day, the Holy Spirit said, my friend, get up. Are you going to believe the word of God or not? It is by faith, and by faith alone. St. Francis, he also tried it. You know St. Francis of Assisi, the one that the current Pope is named after. I read it so long ago, he too tried it and said, this is not the will of God. He also did it. They call it asceticism. Those guys, after some time, they said, I beg, this one is not the will of God. Listen to me. All those things don't defeat the devil. What defeats the devil is that Satan thrives on ignorance. Remember, we've been emphasizing it, that truth is not what feels real to me. Truth is what the word of Christ says is true. If I'm sick, I feel sick, and the word says I am well, I can feel sick. That's my problem. The truth is that I am what? Well. If all the witches, are, you know me and witches, we have, you know, but just to help illustrate, if they all sat down like this, maybe I'm lying down, I wake up, and all of them are on my back, they say, we are hereby oppressing you, I won't even answer them. You can't oppress me. I will know it's cartoon, spiritual cartoon, and watch it. I will just know. It's not possible. It's not possible. No witch that loves any iota of life will stand on my toe. If I cut my nails, they won't stand on it. I don't mean my literal toe. Say, Pastor, cut nails. Drop them somewhere. Go and stand on it first. Not to even talk about stepping on my toes. Then you now oppress me on my back. I will never believe it. Because it is against the word of God. How do I overcome Satan in my life? I know truth. I go after truth. That's what we said last time. The devil is a liar. And all over in life, what he's trying to do is to, listen, he's trying to feed people with lies. And many of these scientific, let me tell you something about lies. Many of these scientific things they tell us, all right, is lies. You see, if the foundation is destroyed, the Bible says, what can the righteous do? Listen, I meditated about this on this a few days ago, and I came to a conclusion that a lot of science is, well, because of my own profession in medicine, I realize a lot of things they can't solve now is not because God is not willing to give them the power, all right, but because they go there with one fundamental issue. They tell you that everything occurs spontaneously for no explanation. So they approach research with that mindset. For that reason, they are not finding a lot of things. If I was teaching, maybe people in this particular career alone, I would have used some serious illustrations. For years, scientists have been looking for cure for cancer. Then yesterday, I thought about it. I said, you know why they are not finding it? Because they believe that mutations are basically spontaneous. Sounds funny, but I can't go into details about that. I realized that, listen, until you make up your mind that, listen, Isaac Newton said it, every object continues in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line until an external force acting upon it compels it to do otherwise. Until you sit on that and sit on that alone, which tells you from the scriptures in the beginning, God created. And then he said, an enemy has done this. You have to add those two things together into your research. You make advancements in leaps and bounds. Once you keep on saying that, no, in the beginning, nothing exploded and created something. And then something suddenly moved around and then visually joined and became a human being. You can never make serious progress. And go and check it. Those who made real scientific advancements don't think like that. They can't think like that. Because of fleshly behavior of human beings, they may come outside and talk, but when you look inside, they can't think like that. They cannot, because they've seen things. You know, this is our current edition. We put something inside there, which is scientifically more probable. And that man there, Chandra Vikar, you know, his name is so hard to pronounce. Chandra, what is his name again? So, this Chandra W, all right? The guy is a professor, all right, of Applied Mathematics, University of Cardiff. He said that except you are biased, all right, either by, what were the words he used? He said, in conclusion, you know, this is what he said. If one is not prejudiced either by social beliefs or by scientific training into the conviction that life originated on the earth, all right, it was fighting what they call neo-Darwinism, all right? This simple calculation wipes the idea entirely out of court. He said the enormous information content of even the simplest living cell cannot, in our view, be generated by what is often called natural processes. If take time and read that thing. The man explained that the chances of one of just some amino acids coming together to form the smallest of these proteins is less than 1 in 10 raised to power 40. So in case you don't know what it means, the whole of the atoms in the known universe is only 10 raised to power 80. We didn't write more. He said more than this. That due to the combination, the only sensible thing that there had to be a template written. Now this is interesting, but this man is not a Christian. He's a Buddhist. He doesn't believe in God. So we're just speaking purely on scientific basis. You know, say where does he doesn't believe? Of course, he doesn't believe in God, so he has his own ideas. I'm not talking about that. But all I'm saying is that. But you see, people will just close their eyes and be, you know, preaching a kind of what they think is true, but it's absolutely a lie, and we will believe in it. I've told you when I was in the area, I don't know, maybe because my congregation there was quite old. You know, not very old. I don't mean elderly people, but I mean, the average age. Some people were younger, but average age, they will be between 40 and 50. You know, people were older. You see people in their 60s, the one I went to in Norway. So maybe that's why the Lord put that upon my heart. But I spoke so much about old age that it's not a disease. Don't read a book that tells that as you get older, your bone starts getting weaker. If you believe it, it will happen. That your brain starts shrinking. If you believe it, oh, refuse it. Just refuse it. When you read, I don't care the evidence you want to give me. The word of God says simply, an old righteous man will be full of sap. That's what it says. I would never... One day I was driving, I told somebody that my knee was aching. He said, you don't the old. I said, no, it's not age. It's too much use. You know, so let me readjust how I drive. Which was age? I'm not going to... What I say? When I used to drive my cousin in Lagos, and when I was much younger, my left foot was aching me because of pressing clutch. You know what I mean? You know? Press clutch. You will drive inside, go slow like this. Manual car. May God not give you a manual car inside, go slow. No. That is that time for Lagos. So one day we were descending that bridge around in Ikeja, down to Bankantony. We're just coming down that from the airport side. I was so tired, I used my right leg. I crossed the ground, I used to press the clutch. That is. So, you know, I just got confused. So I was trying to accelerate, the car was slowing down. I was trying to slow down, the car was accelerating. So my cousin was like, what are you doing? I didn't say anything. So I withdrew off the feet, allowed the car to roll for a few seconds. Then I quickly rebalanced it, then started pressing the appropriate things. Because I had driven around Lagos inside, hold up. After a while. So I told myself, listen, I would rather, if I'm inside a town that has a lot of traffic, I'd rather have an automatic Keke Napep than a manual SUV. I'm telling you. Is it because of age? No, now, if you press something too much, nobody's coming to explain to me that it is because of age. No. Age is not a disease, it's a blessing. The only thing age is allowed to add to me is wisdom. Yes. It's wisdom. The only thing age is allowed to add to me is what? Wisdom. That's the only thing I accept. I'm not going to catch disease faster. And I say, okay, you know, the way the lie we tell in medical class is that extremes of age, when you are very young, your immunity is weak. When you are very old, your immunity is weak. Then when you are in the middle ages, you die from road traffic accident. Something just wrong, sir. If you're an American youth, you like to get shot. So what do? Just don't be born. That is the only safety. I said, get away. I'm not a statistic. I'm a child of God. Are you getting my point? I'm not a statistic. I'm a child of God. So I'm not going to. I don't respond to statistics. I respond to the word of God. Huh? What am I saying? How do we deal with the devil in our lives? That's what I'm emphasizing. We deal with him with knowledge. Are you getting my point? We find out what God's word says about something, and we hold on to that and stick with that no matter what. He thrives on ignorance. That's what he thrives on. He thrives on lying. He tries on offering us things that are contrary to what God said. They start using scientific proof to tell us that homosexuality is an alternative lifestyle. Like, listen, this is my own point. I don't care what science has to say. All right? One of my colleagues reported to me that they found out in examining brains of homosexuals that they have this, their lenticular nucleus is slightly bigger than, you know, the side. He said that the only thing they have not yet said now, he was quoting a paper for me, all right? The only thing they haven't said is that whether this was causal or a casual relationship or is an effect, you know, I said, don't worry, they will soon say it, that is the cause. So the man was born with that particular nucleus. What, there's deep gray matter anyways, one part of the brain. And I said, they can say what they have to say. So God does not know about the nuclear in the brain when he wrote clearly that this is the reason why I destroy some people. Are you getting my point? You are not going to use salvation by survey for me. You know, Rabbi Zachariah said there's salvation by survey. What is average is normal. That means stealing should be normal. After a lot of people steal. Because salvation by survey is not allowed.
It is according to the word of God. Every time you disagree with God, even on trivial things, you open the door for Satan in your life. Let me sit on that for a moment, then I'll leave the matter and go on to the next thing I want to talk about. In fact, that's what the temptation is. Every time you disagree with God, even on trivial things, you open the door for Satan in your life. Listen, if somebody preaches a message, you know, one of the things that you know that makes me laugh once, that many people don't know how to express themselves. Some people, you know, they said, I heard this thing you said, but I don't agree with you. In my mind, that's your problem. You know, Ken Hagin said, told the story. He said once, he finished preaching. One man came and met him and said, I've been in all your meetings for the last 3 days. I assume he's been preaching for 3 days. I've attended all the meetings, every session I've been there. I just want to tell you something. Ken Hagin said, what? I don't believe you in anything you said. So the man said, that's your problem, not mine. And he kept on walking. You know, if you are a young preacher, you are angry, how can you disagree with me? Can I just look and say, that's your problem, not mine. And he kept on walking like nothing happened. He said, the man stood and laughed and said, you're right, you know. It's my problem, not yours. Of course, the man repented after that. The man just went simply, that's your problem, not mine. One day I was in the Saba Cafe. Those before internet was not everywhere, it became everywhere. So I went, the woman saw me, young man came. So he said, you're Pastor Banky. I said, yes. He said, I listen to you on radio. He said, oh, that's good. He said, sometimes I find myself disagreeing with you. I said, what did you expect? You're looking for who you agree with all the time? That was the only thing I told him. I said, that's natural. He paused for a moment. He greeted me and left. My man, you are looking for who will argue with you. If you don't believe it, it's your problem, not mine. I am being blessed by those things I'm saying. There are many preachers like that, but I'm one of them. I don't ever say what I don't believe. I will never preach anything to you because somebody else said it. Never. No, I haven't done it once. If I say it, I believe it. Even when I'm quoting somebody, I'll even tell you that this is one thing he said. I'm not fully sure of this, but this is what I understand. Once I say it, I believe it is my practice. And believe me, it's blessing me. You know what I said? It's blessing me. When I tell you I don't pray about witches, it's not a joke. It's not a joke. Join me. You'll see, they will leave you alone. You know, Archbishop Itaosa said, when you give the devil attention, he gives you direction. All this one of, say, today, all the witches in the neighborhood. That's why they keep coming to the neighborhood, because you said they are in the neighborhood. I'm not aware they're in my neighborhood, so they've gone somewhere else to where they are recognized, where they roll out, you know, red carpet, which is you have come. They don't come for Kingdom World meetings because I don't have their time. Are you following the point I'm making? Now, why did I digress to that? Remember I said that when you disagree with God, you open a door for Satan in your life. Now, I was going to say something, that's why I went to all of this. That if you hear something being preached and you don't understand it, just be quiet. Why did I say? Why did I say? Just, mom, just keep quiet. Unless you know the word of God that is superior to that what that person is declaring, that's the only time you're allowed to talk. Otherwise, just be quiet. Especially when your explanation is only natural. By this time tomorrow, somebody right here is going to be a multimillionaire. I said, this man does not know the market. That's premature death. You know I'm quoting something there. 2 Kings chapter 7. And sometimes, you know, preachers can be funny. They can look silly. I say God sets them up as temptation for people. One day, Oma was in church. My father-in-law told me this was very, very funny. You know, Catholics are not used to some things. So some Catholic priests learned some Pentecostal habits. So in their church, they brought this Catholic priest that was a fire-spitting preacher. So that day, said the man was preaching. I say, you will not die. So everybody was saying, amen. You will not die. Amen. And Oma pinched his wife. Hey, don't mind him. Who will not die? Everybody must die one day. pastor was in front preaching. I'm praying for people. The man tell him, I said, God, don't mind him. Who's not going to die? Everybody will die one day. Oh, God. Those are things you must never do. Even if you want to die, just keep quiet. The man is not talking to you. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Of course, the man is not a fool. When he says you will not die, it doesn't mean you won't die ever. He knows you will die one day, but just saying you won't die now, you won't die before the time of your death, appointed by God. And you should, all you should do is say amen. It doesn't hurt. It's a blessing, unless you really plan to die tomorrow, and you like the idea. Why did I go into that? Listen to me. Never disagree with the word of God. Even if you don't understand it, just keep quiet. Don't say, hey, sir, if only you understood where I was coming from. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Don't even say that. Believe the outcome. Forget the process, how it will happen. Just believe the outcome. Anytime the principles of God are explained to you, don't use your personal experience to prove them wrong. You are only allowed to disagree if you have a superior understanding of the scriptures about that thing. You are not for one moment allowed to use your personal experience to judge whether something is true or is false. You don't agree with God when it's convenient. You hear what I said? I was in a church one day. Very funny. I don't know human beings behave like that. One man was preaching in front. It was Women's Day. You know one of those days for women. Whether it's Mother's Sunday or Women's Week. Something was just female about the day. And the pastor was there preaching. That there are different kinds of women. That some women are tough. And the woman beside me jumped up. Whoa! They can take a man by his shirt like this and shake him down. And she jumped on. Some women don't have any time for any man to waste their time. You know that kind of thing. And she went, oh, preacher, God will bless you. She was sitting beside me. I was looking at her. And this, she will carry her Bible. She was shaking her Bible for the pastor. The pastor went on and on just talking about different, and then finally he slowed down. He said, but no matter what it is, men and women are different. The woman said, no, we are the same. She was sitting beside me like this. I remember she was on my right. Now she vexed. Carry her Bible, hold on like this. Of course, the pastor was far in front. He didn't know what was going on where we were. And he was trying to say that, look, God made men and made women different for a certain reason. He said, no, we are the same. Everything the pastor said after that, I should not agree again. Why? The man has stopped saying things that felt good to her body. She only will agree with the word of God if it is convenient to her feeling. That is a recipe for building a corner, you know, room for the devil in your life. You are not allowed to do that. The word of God does not only bless you. Of course, it always blesses. But sometimes it doesn't make you happy. It comes and convicts you. Some people say that, you know how you know Holy Spirit is speaking to you? He speaks peace. When that word comes to you and you feel peace, it's the Holy Spirit. I said it's because you are not walking in sin and you agree with what he's saying. If the Holy Spirit speaks, you shall be crucified. There's no peace in it. You run to the garden and go and pray. Did you see Jesus feeling peace when they wanted to crucify him? He said, I just felt peace inside me. I'm about to be crucified, Piro. I feel peace. Adjourning. I feel peace right now. There was nothing like that. He said, guys, I need to go and pray. They went to the garden. He groaned, came and said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Father, Abba, any other method. Nah, oh, there was no peace. Oh. He prayed until the angels came and ministered the peace to him. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? So the fact that the word comes to you, it does not mean it will always bring you peace. All this one of how, we'll talk about it again. I have to keep talking about it. The Holy Spirit leads different ways. People say, you know, he speaks through that inward voice. How do you know the inward voice? You have inward thoughts, inward vexation, inward desire, inward anger. All of them are inward. Inward reluctance to go somewhere. Yeah, you get my point. That's it. The Holy Spirit says you don't go. We'll talk about it again. Why did I go into that? The word of God does not always bring peace. Jesus said, don't think I've come to bring peace. Sometimes what I come to do is to bring a sword. Yes. I divide people. Why do I like to divide? Because somebody has to agree with me. And anybody that won't agree with that person is divided. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That's how it is. The word of God does not always bring peace. The word of God has come to me before it knocked me into my seat because of, my God, what are you up to? And you will know. Doesn't always bring peace. What I'm going to say, if they say something it doesn't agree with you, it is not you. The moment you disagree with it, Satan is your friend. You can't pray him out. Listen, in fact, the next thing I want to talk about, remember I said something? One, Satan tries in two places. One, ignorance. And two, in temptation. Of course, he always has to use a lie to tempt. His temptations are always lies. He tells you, you will not surely die. That's how it is. Then he starts giving you, what do you call it, Shakespeare. You quote Shakespeare and common sense you think is the word of God. Heaven helps those who help themselves. Some people don't know it's not in the Bible. And you know, let me tell you how you know that Satan is working on your case. In which case you have to fight it. When he starts saying, it's very common with husband and wife matter. Those of you who are not married yet, you won't get the point very much. You will soon get it. Those of you who are married now, you're already getting it. When the Bible says, submit to thy husband and everything, what if he's very, very unreasonable? What if the last 5 times he said something, he was wrong, I was right? What if, you know, once you start what ifing everything that you have been told, Satan is buying a chair. Every extra one, what if he arranges it better? What if he sits down? What if he reclines? What if he locks the door so that you won't mistakenly cast him out? And he starts agreeing with you. Oh God, I don't have time to go into it. He starts finding a way to see that you are very... Remember, what you eat is what decides how you see things. After a while, you will see how you are always right and it's always wrong. And you know, interesting part, you will always be right. As we have seen how you're always right and it's always wrong. And the most interesting part is that you're always wrong. Go and decode that when you get home. So, what should we do? That's the thing. At such times, no explanation. Just say, be it unto me according to thy word. Every time they come, what if? Quote the scripture and say, be it unto me according to thy word. Husbands, love thy wives. You don't know how difficult these women can be. Satan said, please, let me go and buy sofa. Wait here. You buy, put it in down. Gets a plasma TV, gives you one remote control. Two of you are about to start watching match together. You are his friend. You don't know some. These women are so unreasonable. You have become friends. Why? Because your response is a complaint against the word of God. That's how Satan gets inside. And listen, there's nobody who's trying to disobey God that feels obeying him is good. I don't know what I mean is this. It's not as if your body says, you should obey, but let's just disobey. Let's just see how disobedience will be. It doesn't do like that. The disobedience feels good. Your mother will agree with it. I don't know what I get my point. When you call village council, they agree. You call two of your friends, they agree, except they are godly people. You know, that's how disobedience to God is. But go and check all those who are agreeing. Their quotation is always, remember this man that time. You know, when they start pointing at this person, at that person, I just know they are pointing away from the word of God. He said, to the word and to the testimony. If you don't want to hear, if you can't quote from the scriptures to support what you are telling me, keep it to yourself. You are not helping me. You are entrenching the seat of Satan in my home. I don't want it. Every time, listen, I've heard all kinds of things. You quote for somebody that Archbishop Itaosa said, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. Of course, it's a scripture that's it was being, you know, talking about. Promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. But God is judge. So it was saying that it's not where you are. It is God that commands the blessings. So whether you're in America, he said, wait. I know one brother. He used to be, and then the story has started. It's not a scripture. He was very poor. He couldn't get a job. Do you know, 3 years after I got to America, he sent a card to his father. Then there is one sister. Then the story starts. No need to answer. Just say, promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. But God is judge. That God will command blessing towards me wherever I am. Because he said, blessings are commanded. You quote the scripture. You don't know what I'm saying. Let me tell you, there are people who have... Wait. He said, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like... You start quoting the scripture. No explanation. When people are asking questions like, okay, what are you trying to say? In fact, just so people want to... They want to argue. They want to disbelieve. Are you trying to say that? Once I remember, I was in Lagos. Pastor Poju was preaching in church. I remember very well that day. It was a heat of crisis, you know, June 12th. You know, kind of, I don't know. How many of you were into political things that time? That was 1993. This time around is 94. The one I'm talking about. June 12th happened in 93. The issue, the tension about it came in 94. You didn't even know, around that area. Were you politically aware that time? You were not. We were the officiating people during the election. I was serving that time, 93. I was in Taraba State, but I didn't go to my own base. I didn't want to go, so I just told them, which was not a lie anyway. I was the only doctor in the clinic, so I said I couldn't leave my clinic and go and be conducting the election. Anyway, so one day, 95. That's in 95? Yes, 95. No. 97, one day Pastor Poju was preaching. 97, Apacha was still in power. Yeah, he died in 98. And Obasanjo came in 99. Yes, this was 97. So Nadeko was still quite Nadekic that time. You know, they were all over the place. So tension was in the air. And of course, Southerners were, we no good agree. That is, we cannot agree. We will not agree. The North has ruled forever, you know. So Pastor Poju was in church one day, and he was preaching, and he explained something. So he was preaching that day in church, and he was talking about the scepter would not depart from Judah. You understand? And he was explaining something that you have to be careful when you are fighting things. That if God commands that the ruler will always come from a particular place, there's nothing you can do about it. Anytime you do something about it, you are fighting God. I don't know whether I get the point. To a southerner, that's heresy. I don't know whether I get what I'm trying to say. The northern Nigeria has always produced the heads of states. And this pastor is saying what? In fact, the one brother beside me said, Pastor, what are you saying? He didn't say it loud, though. You know, if you say it loud, Holy Spirit will slap you. But he was just whispering under his breath. He said, so, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? Like, say it now. You are afraid to say it. Tell us. That is God that appointed Abacha. Tell us. God appointed Abangida. Tell us. Buhari, tell us. How come everybody is coming from that? You know, that kind of thing. That day, I was in church. He was saying, what are you saying? What are you saying? Listen to me. No matter how much it doesn't feel good to the body, if it's the word of God, it's the word of God. I'm not saying out of pride. I'm saying it because it really happened and it's a good instruction. I never one day spoke evil of Abacha till he died. Not one day. Not one second. Not one minute. I did not criticize him. Not one moment. Why? I said he's the ruler in the land, you are not allowed to. Doesn't mean I agree with him. And one day, I was talking to one of my brothers. And somebody said something. I said, you are talking about the head of state of the country. You are not allowed to talk like that. We're in a Christian convention. He said, waiting. Waiting. That was what he said, waiting. Is it God that appointed that one? Let me tell you this as I close. Adolf Hitler was appointed by God. If you're a Jew, don't listen to me again. That's your problem. Adolf Hitler was appointed by God. Satan doesn't have the power to appoint any ruler. The heavens rule in the affairs of men. And God gives the kingdoms of men over to whosoever he wishes. I remember that day. I was supposed to preach that evening. And I spoke up. I said, brethren, there are things that are not befitting Christians. You are not allowed to stand up. I said, you don't copy Tunde Bakare. You don't have his prophetic office. He's a prophet. Leave him. Listen. If David killed Uriah, is it a good thing? If your name is not Nathan, go and talk. Your name is not Nathan. Go say, the king killed Uriah. They will kill you too. But when you are Nathan, you go there. My lord the king, how far? You're in trouble. What have I done? And you talk, the man will fall down and worship. But you don't just stand be pointing fingers. I'm not saying you agree. But you have a commandment as a Christian. You take whatever be the problem, you go and pray. Are you getting my point? So that day I got up, I spoke. I said, brethren, there are things you're not supposed to do as a Christian. I said, when God is tired of the head of state, if he doesn't like him, he will kill him. The following month, the man died. And then people now began to commit the next error. They began to rejoice. Hey, he's done. I said, no, when Saul died, David lamented and said, how am thy mighty falling? I said, there's no need. And the Bible says, when God is punishing your enemy, don't rejoice. Otherwise, God will see your rejoicing and change his mind. Hey, we don't read the scriptures well. Oh, it's there. So I said, I was angry. People said, no, the Bible says that when the wicked perish, the people rejoice. I said, there are statements made in the scriptures and observation, not a commandment for people. There are some that are clear commandments. He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. It was not a commandment, it's observation. He didn't say you now go and say, hey, my love has waxed cold as it is written. Iniquity is abounding. You don't do that. You know what you are commanded to do and what is said to you for you to observe that it will happen. I said, the commandment is you are not supposed to rejoice like this. People, and I remember I turned it to prayer and I prayed for the people of Nigeria, because if you did not, if God will raise the next despot, you guys will have been afraid. Why did I got all of that? When the word of God comes, it doesn't always feel good to the body. It doesn't. But we still must believe and obey it. And when we don't understand and it doesn't feel good, we just say, be it unto me according to truth. Even if you can't say, I receive that one, just say, the word of God is true, amen. The word of God is true. Just don't ever speak against the word, because once you do, that is the door that Satan uses and enters into people's lives, even on trivial matters. It's called temptation. Next time I'll talk more about temptation. How do we deal with the devil in our lives? We know these things that he's doing. He tries in ignorance, we go after knowledge. We hold on to the word of God. When the word comes, we don't argue with the word, even if we don't understand it. It's called temptation. Remember, as God really said, does it make sense? You think about it. How can you just eat ordinary fruit and you just die? You just eat and you just die. Does it look like you can die? Don't forget, Eve had never seen anybody die. I don't know whether you're getting my point. She had never seen it. Nobody had ever died around her. No animal had died. They were not eating animals that time. Is that eating animals after the flood? So Adam had not killed anybody. All the angelic beings that used to come to the garden, they were not dying people. So he said, you won't die. He says, it's true. It doesn't make sense. Why should somebody die? What does it even mean to die? Why are we going to die? It's not likely. This fruit looks too good. Why should somebody just die eating things like this? I will not surely die. Satan says, thank you very much. Now I have my place in this house. Do you get my point? I hope you've gotten my point.
Our time has gone. Let's close it, and then we'll continue again next time. I hope you learned something today. I hope you learned something today. Let me repeat that thing, which was the most important thing. What you see in life is dependent upon what you consume. Therefore, be careful what you consume. Adam did not change. It was his eyes that changed. And his eyes changed because of what he ate. It's not everything you eat. And our own food these days are what? Words. What people say to our ears. I hope you understood that. I'll let you put on my hand, just give it out. Thanks quickly. Let's get out of here. Let's rise to our feet quickly. We'll just do that and then we close as we declare the word of God over our lives. Quickly, let's do that. Say it again in the name of Jesus Christ. I am free. I'm free from the power of the devil. I've been set free to serve Jesus Christ. Say it again. I'm seated high above. Above principalities and powers. Above every work of the devil. Say like you believe it. I live above sin. I live above Satan. I am not afraid of demons. I am not afraid of evildoers. Say God surrounds me with favor as with a shield. Say God surrounds me with favor as with a shield. I'm protected on every side. No evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling. Say, make a declaration. Say, I will never agree with the devil. I will not buy his lies. I will not argue against the word of God. But I will always declare, be it unto me according to his word. Say, I'm a person of faith. I walk by faith. Therefore, I live by faith. Remember, to live means to acquire life. To walk by faith is what people often call living by faith. But to walk by faith is just that, yes, I make my decisions based on faith. But as a result of that, life is injected into my system. So therefore say it, I live by faith.
I
am not dying.
I am living.
And that is by faith. I will not die young. I will grow old by faith. I will not die in poverty.
I am prosperous by faith.
I am not failing.
And that is what dying is, all right?
Say, I am succeeding by faith.
I am succeeding by faith.
That is life. Say, life is my portion.
Life is my portion.
Say it again, life is my portion.
Life is my portion.
Life enters everything that I do. Put a hand on your head. Say, life enters my body. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. It strengthens everything. It heals every ailment. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Because it's the Spirit of Christ. It's giving life to my mortal body. Say, the Spirit of Christ is giving life to my mortal body. Is healing my pancreas. I said that because if doctors say to you, you are diabetic, say, life is healing my body. And you will find out that that's it. You are beginning to get healed and totally you will be cured. Because that is the Word of God. The Word of God is like medicine. The Word of God is what? Like medicine. You take it, it works. It works. Say it, life is in my body.
Is healing my brain.
Every part of me. From the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
Let me quickly say this. It doesn't matter if they say it's genetic. Life still works. Are you getting my point? Say it again. Life is working in me.
Life is working in me.
It's overcoming the forces of death. Overcoming the forces of failure. Overcoming the forces of poverty. Life is working in me. I'm not under a curse. But life is working in me. Life is working in me. If you can remove your hand now, just say it in the name of Jesus Christ.
I have understanding
in the word of God.
I have the spirit of wisdom
and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. Say, life is working in my understanding.
I can understand spiritual things.
My Bible is open to me. The Holy Spirit speaks to me. It leads me into the path of righteousness. It teaches me what to do.
It teaches me what to choose.
It teaches me the fear of God. Say, I am not alone.
I am not stupid.
That is very. That word came to my mind. I want you to believe. Say, I'm not stupid.
I have wisdom.
I know how to choose.
I
have the Spirit of Christ.
I have
the Spirit of Christ. Satan cannot confuse me.
This world will not confuse me.
The cares of the world
and the deceitfulness of riches,
these things will not confuse me.
I obey the word of God.
I obey the voice of my shepherd.
I declare it
that I obey the voice of my shepherd.
I will never obey the voice of the world.
I will never obey the voice of Satan.
I speak to my soul,
obey the voice of the shepherd.
Obey the voice of the shepherd.
Obey the word of God.
Say it, I am above Satan.
Because I'm walking in obedience.
I am above the devil.
Because I'm walking in righteousness.
All things have passed away in my life.
All things have passed away in my life.
I walk in the liberty of Christ.
Say, Father, I thank you. Because indeed I'm free. Just say, Father, we thank you. In your own words, just thank God, thank God, thank God. Quickly open your, let's share the grace in fellowship. If you have, if you don't have it off yet, just open your magazine or open your device, whatever it is. So let's share the grace together.
Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now that last, the second to the last line, I want to use the word mine and say it like you believe it. This is my season of fruitfulness. One more time.
This is my season.
One more time.
This is my season.
One more time.
This is my season.
One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's well with you.